Hi, everybody. This is the continuation of our esoteric astrology adventures. We are on adventure number 11. It really is an adventure to see whether we can somehow understand some small part of this book, which leads to the new astrology. We were on page 23, and we had been discussing the Book of Life for initiates, which involves the 12 constellations, spirit, monad, and atma, rather than the 12 signs per se, the signs being a specialized 12-fold field of receptivity upon which the energies of the constellations play. The signs adapting the energies of the constellations to the uses of forms in the three worlds, particularly. We discussed the Book of Wisdom, which is for disciples and relates to the 12 planets. And let's see. The Book of Wisdom for disciples concerning the 12 planets, and although the planets have sometimes been said to relate more to the personality nature of man, there are higher functions of these planets, and they definitely can have a soul personality fusion effect, and they can even mediate still higher powers. We also then talked about the Book of Form or Manifestation, which are the 12 creative hierarchies, and this relates to humanity particularly. We have the important triangle Shambhala hierarchy, humanity, and accordingly the constellations, the planets, and the creative hierarchies. We're involved with form building when we deal with the creative hierarchies, even though the hierarchies themselves are hierarchies of monads at different stages of immersion in matter. And I sometimes call that prakritic immersion. Prakriti, matter. Prakritic immersion. So man is a monad at a certain level of immersion in matter, and so are the other creative hierarchies, either more deeply immersed or the higher hierarchies less deeply immersed in matter. That's as far as we got when we were dealing with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 10. And the Tibetan goes on and says, it might be said, in summation, it might be said, the zodiacal signs affect primarily the man who lives below the diaphragm. This is the ordinary average man, and these signs thus condition four of the centers. Well, you see how he switched from the term constellation to the term signs. Now, he doesn't always do this in the clearest way, and sometimes he does seem to mix and blend and blind the two terms so that occasionally the term signs does stand for constellation. But if we just look a little bit above, we see the 12 constellations concern spirit and monad. And now he talks about the 12 signs that concern life below the diaphragm and is not at all involving spirit and monad. Okay. So now what I've done here is I've interpolated some text from a treatise on white magic, in which book we find quite a bit of an illuminating nature on esoteric astrology. In a way, it's a preamble to esoteric astrology, as this book, White Magic, was written before the astrology book. I believe that the immediate next book on which they collaborated after White Magic was the book on psychology, and then followed two volumes of psychology, followed by the book on astrology. So I've included a little bit here to discuss this idea of the signs versus the constellations. Repeating, the zodiacal signs affect primarily the man who lives below the diaphragm. This is the ordinary average man, and then we'll get on to discuss which four centers are involved. But for the moment, we're going to look at what he says in White Magic. Astrology now deals primarily with the personality for whom the horoscope may be cast. That is, the four elementals, mind, emotions, body, and the composite elemental that we call the personality. And with the events of the personality life. Remember, there are also events of the soul life. And with these, the astrology, at least of the 1930s, when this book was written, did not deal. Okay, I'll get this a little bit red so we can use it. When through meditation and service, plus the discipline of the lunar bodies, of the personality, a man becomes consciously and definitely under his soul ray, then he comes as definitely under the influence of one or other of the seven solar systems, as they focus their energy through one or other of the constellations, and subsequently one or other of the seven sacred planets. Now, there's so much hidden in this statement. What are the seven solar systems? Well, they are sometimes called the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. And different theorists have different ideas about these seven solar systems. I tend to prefer the idea that there are seven affiliated solar systems, each with its own particular solar logos, and of these seven, our solar system is one. And sometimes we call this the Sirian system. So together, these seven would make a kind of constellation. A constellation. We have no name for it because we're so close to it. Other theorists think that our solar system is in fact a constellation. And again, of course, DK is blending, merging, and blinding terms like constellation and solar system. He often does this. And that in fact there our system is a constellation, and there are great constellations, six others of them, of making seven in all if you add our solar system, considered as a constellation. Well, there are many reasons that I have argued against this particular position, because the other constellations that are included in this seven constellational grouping are such constellations as the Pleiades, Orion, the Great Bear, Draco, the Little Bear, you know, huge constellations of a magnitude and power way beyond what our little solar system would be if it was to be considered a constellation. So for the moment, I prefer the idea that there are seven major stars, of which ours is one. They are relatively close. They include such stars as Sirius, Alpha and Beta, Centauri, Sion, Altair, and others about which theorists do debate. And that these are the sources, in a way, of the immediate sources of the seven rays to our solar system. Each one of these seven solar logoi expressing a ray, and our solar logos expressing a ray, namely, at this time, the second ray of love, wisdom. How that all works out is speculative, but let's just say there are great stellar sources. They are either solar logoi, or as some would have it, groups of solar logoi from which the seven rays come. We know that DK has said, for our purposes, the seven rays come from the seven stars of the Great Bear. The Great Bear itself is probably ruled by one particular ray as a whole with seven subdivisions, and it's very possible that the ray that rules the Great Bear could be considered the first ray, because we are told that the Great Bear is associated with the seven head centers of the one about whom naught may be said. So we're dealing with head centers, with the will, and with the first ray. So anyway, we're talking about a man coming when he is under the influence of his soul ray. He's coming under the influence of one or other of the seven solar systems, stellar bodies. And I keep that idea as a solar system as we understand the term, and not as a constellation. As these systems focus through one or other of the constellations, and by that I assume he means zodiacal constellations, and then subsequently through one or other of the sacred planets, as we know that every one of the sacred planets, which are Vulcan, I'm doing them in ray order, Vulcan, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, Venus, Neptune, Uranus, every one of these constellations is a ruler, either an orthodox ruler, an esoteric ruler, or a hierarchical ruler of the zodiacal constellations. And then, you know, the way I would consider this is that after the constellations would come the signs of the zodiac, not the constellations of the zodiac, but the signs of the zodiac through which the different planets express. So when a man comes under his soul, he is ruled by great systems. Now, you know, it's quite possible that every one of these greater constellations, which are the chakras in the one about whom naught may be said, that each one of them has a ray. And that these chakras, like, you know, Orion and Draco and the Great Bear and Little Bear, pour into what I call the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, our local constellation. And each one of them animates, vivifies, conditions one of the solar logoi in this local system of seven. And then from there, the planets are influenced and the signs are influenced. It can be actually a fourfold descent of energy. It can be great constellations, which are chakras in the one about whom naught may be said, coming into our local constellation, and each one of these chakras influencing one of these seven stars, of which our sun is one, our solar logos working through that star. And then these stars influencing the planets, even as the Great Bear influences the planets, and the planets working through the signs, which are specialized fields of energy force surrounding our planet and Devic in nature, and adapting the energies of the constellations. Eventually, he says, there will be 12 sacred planets. This is very important. because there are 12 signs of the zodiac. He doesn't say there will be 12 rays, although a lot of people have jumped the gun on that and said there are. But if there are 12 rays, then certainly five of them are subsets of five of the major rays. And so probably have, we can't say which ones they would be, but just like there are 12 notes on the in the octave of the piano, seven of them are major, and the black keys are considered minor. Seven and five, seven major, five minor. So eventually there will be 12 sacred planets, and will this come through the discovery of two planets which are still undiscovered? Quite possibly, the planet that the sun veils, probably a non-sacred planet, a planet that the moon veils, a fourth-ray planet, just as the sun veils a second-ray planet. They have not been discovered, but what probably will also happen is that three of our non-sacred planets will become sacred eventually. So let's just anticipate that Earth, Mars, and Pluto will become sacred. And then two other planets will be discovered, and they, even though non-sacred at the moment, will become sacred. Our solar system, as you know, is one of seven. Well, you know, that seems like a very straightforward statement. A solar system has been defined as by DK as a system with one star. When we start having two stars or three stars, we get into the possibility of a constellation, because not all constellations have to have seven or more stars. In a way, a system is a constellation of factors. A constellation means we bring things together into relationship, and they are thus constellated. So you see how it is that DK, when he wants to blind and temporarily make penetration into these matters a little more difficult, he can easily go between words systems and constellations and still be correct, because every constellation is a system of interrelated factors, and every system is a grouping of constellated factors. Anyway, this is my interpretation. So a solar system, as you know, our solar system is one of seven. And as I pointed out, if you look on page 293 of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, let's go there. I'd like to be able to go there instantly, but you know, I'm not there yet. So 293 is an important map. And the seven cosmic logos consists of seven solar systems. So every one of those solar logoi who embodies a solar system is bringing in a particular ray to our particular solar system. And every one of our sacred planets is related to one of these solar systems. We might say that Jupiter is most related to our sun, and perhaps Venus most related to Sirius, and we could go on and try to make assignments, but they would be theoretical and interesting, but not too practical at the moment. So anyway, our solar system, as you know, is one of seven. When a man has arrived at this point in evolution, birth months, that's a vague term, of course, because in a way the signs of the zodiac begin about each of them two-thirds through a particular month. So it's hard to use the term month to indicate a sign, and because there's always an overlap, you know, the month begins about 10 days later than the sign begins. But anyway, when a man has arrived at this point in evolution, birth months, mundane astrology, as applied to the three worlds only, and man in the three worlds, and the influences which play upon the form aspect become of less and less importance. Now, that doesn't mean they're not important, and we do have to deal with the personality as an instrument so that it can effectively express the soul. The circle of solar systems, interesting circle, word circle. Well, I suppose there's a cycle involved here. Ray cycles operate throughout the year, and I suppose if we were to look at a particular year of man, different rays would be active at different times. We don't have that particular cycle. But anyway, he calls it the circle of solar systems, and some theorists have thought that since the solar systems represent great constellations rather than solar systems, they are arranged somehow in a circle around a type of center which some have thought are the Pleiades. Well, I think the Pleiades are the hub of the wheel, but I think it can be established that it's difficult to look at the great constellations as a circle per se. Anyway, this circle of solar systems affects paramountly the soul, and it becomes the focal point of spiritual energies coming from great sources. This is a problem of the soul on its own plane. So we know very little about the astrology of the soul on its own plane per se, because we are not yet functioning primarily as souls upon the plane of soul. We're very much immersed in personality. This is the problem of the soul on its own plane. Responsiveness to these types of energies, and of them, the personality is totally unaware. Now, there's a very interesting thing, that there's a whole range of energies that the soul responds to, of which the personality is unaware. Personality is unaware of an entire range of energies to which the soul responds. Okay. Now, you know, by no means has what I said here exhausted what could be said or penetrated into these particular mysteries. We do have to search for the meaning of the word circle, and then we have to ask what types of spiritual energies are these solar systems passing through them. And I think we could say they are passing through them the energies of the great constellations, which are chakras within the system of the one about whom naught may be said. Okay. The signs which fall, therefore, into four categories of earth, water, fire, and air. And notice how he did that. He did them in order. He didn't say fire, earth, air, and water. He started from the lowest plane. In other words, fire, earth, air, and water is the way the signs proceed in the zodiac. Fire, Aries, earth, Taurus, air, Gemini, water, Cancer. That's one way of listing the signs in order. But this is a different type of order. This has to do with the planes. So let's put that down. Has to do with the planes. And the planes involved here are the plane of the senses, which is earth, the astral plane, which is water, the mental plane, which is fire, and the Buddhic plane, which is air. So I think we can see that he certainly has a reason for how he did these. So the signs, again, he's saying, just like DK said in the astrology book, remember we're in white magic right now, the signs have to do with the elements. and to quite a degree with the three worlds in which man lives. And from another point of view, we could stay entirely within the three worlds when we talk about the elements. We could do it this way. Here is a way of staying, okay, I'm going to say, here is a way of staying within the three lower worlds. In other words, earth is the physical plane, water is the astral plane, air is the lower mental plane, and fire is the higher mental plane. Now that's one way of looking at the elements and staying strictly within the three lower worlds. So these types of energies of the signs are concerning the man who lives below the diaphragm. In other words, he's working primarily through the solar plexus, through the sacral base of the spine center, and of course, vitality of the spleen is involved, and many lesser centers as well, that he, some of which he details in esoteric healing. Now, this means most of humanity. Maybe we could say 15% of humanity, something of that nature, has a mental focus, which does not mean they're mentally polarized. That's another thing, another and higher step that takes place after the second initiation. But and the rest of humanity, you know, is working largely through the solar plexus, the great bulk of humanity, I would say, and then the sacral center as well for a great majority, especially these days when it's so stimulated because Uranus is coming in under Aquarius, and Uranus is one of the major rulers of the sacral center, as is the seventh ray, which is coming in power. But we're talking about a more primitive relationship, a procreative relationship to the sacral center. So anyway, the signs are concerning primarily the man who lives below the diaphragm, who utilizes the lower four centers. And he lists them, yes, center of the base of the spine, the sacral center, the solar plexus, and the spleen. Spleen being one of three centers, which is called the vitality triangle or the pranic triangle. The inner group of seven major or systemic energies. Again, that word systemic, you know, he didn't say constellational. But of course, you know, there are very intelligent theorists who think that this is so. As I call us all theorists in this respect because, you know, we aren't out there among these great solar systems and constellations. We are little earth beings who are lifting the mind, mostly the abstract mind, towards the heavens and trying to understand the great divine configuration. That necessarily is theoretical because although what we say may hang together under the law of correspondences, we have proven nothing. We have demonstrated nothing. We have expressed nothing of these great energies, except in a very attenuated form. So, you know, it's not a slight to call us theorists. We try to understand what the configuration is, but we probably should not pontificate about what we conclude because there is so much that is not yet known and we could very well be wrong, absolutely incorrect. We could be. Hopefully not too incorrect. So the inner group of seven major or systemic energies produce their effect upon the man who is living above the diaphragm. So these are the energies more related to the rays, per se. The seven types of soul rays, influenced by seven solar systems, ultimately influenced by seven great constellations, and ultimately influenced by the hub of the wheel of the great unknown logos called the one about whom naught may be said. Okay, and work through seven representative centers in the head. So the seven major solar systems, I think, we might connect them with Vulcan. Can we connect these with Vulcan? I always ask a question. Now, to whom am I addressing the question? Maybe to my higher self, maybe to the Tibetan, maybe to someone who knows. At least there is a marking that a point of interest has arisen for which complete knowledge is missing. So not to make a direct statement about it, I put it up as a question, and it offers a possibility. Can we connect these seven head centers with Vulcan? Because just as the Great Bear rules the seven head centers and the one about whom naught may be said, there's very good reason to believe that Vulcan, a major planet of will, rules seven centers in the head of the human being. As the disciple nears the portal, the greater seven must awaken and bring forth response from the lesser seven upon the double circle. So that rule 8 for applicants to initiation tells us about two sets of sevens, which are chakras in man, and there's a greater seven ruling a lesser seven, and in some ways we might look at this 14 as a small reflection of the relationship in man between the Great Bear and the Little Bear, Ursa Major, Ursa Minor. So the major systems are working through the seven head centers, and the man who is living above the diaphragm is working through these seven head centers. Let me show you something from a treatise on cosmic fire. As long as we're in that book, it should be around page 170. Yes, you see here, look, man partially controlled by the ego, who is advanced man, and he's heading for the first initiation. And his heart and throat are active, throat for intelligence, and heart for magnetism. And the head is active. The four lesser centers and their synthesis, the alta major center, the alta center. So that's at the base of the skull, and four lesser centers. There's a five-fold relationship here, because the number five is very important at the first initiation, when the star of initiation shines forth and the fifth petal is completely unfolded. Now we have spiritual man, who is definitely the first degree initiate, and during this period and up to the third initiation, the seven head centers are unfolding. Two more are added. And, you know, we might call that, it could be, the Ajna Center could be one of them, and some aspect of the Crown Center another. It gets a little bit tricky there. Okay, a little bit tricky. But we don't need to know all the details yet. We can work those out under the law of correspondences in the new and coming schools, which I hope many of you and I too will be members of, where they will be supervised by the masters and by fairly high initiates, and we will know and understand these things in greater detail. But first, we have a lot of work to do to bring a degree of harmony, peace, sharing, cleanliness to the world. Okay, so seven major systems are working through the seven head centers, and this relates to Rule 8. Four of them focus through the throat center, the heart center, the Ajna, and the head centers. Now, that is very interesting. He does give us the plural. Note the plural. Because although the head center is one synthetic whole, in many ways it has many, many parts, because it is the macrocosm of all the other centers, so whatever other centers are contained in the 1,000 points of light, as Melvin Artley discussed in his book by the same name. All of those have their higher correspondences in the head. So indeed there are many head centers. So four of the seven, these higher centers, are focusing through. This is very interesting. Centers in the head, four of them focus through. In other words, there are higher head centers and there are centers in the head through which the higher head centers focus. So once Roberto Saggioli asked DK for greater explanation about the head center, and DK essentially said, look, it's a very occult study. Practically nothing has been given out on it, and I haven't. I've just given a few hints. And in that way, DK kind of deferred further discussion. Three of these centers, three of these forces, four of them, centers in the head, three of the centers are held latent in the region of the head centers. Wow, there's wonderful hints here. The 1,000-petal lotus, and only enter into functioning activity after the third initiation. Well, we had that map where seven head centers were brought to the third initiation. That's on page 170 of Cosmic Fire. And we can assume that these three are built up on the way to the third initiation, but only fully function after the third initiation. That makes sense to me anyway. So let's see, four of them focus through, yes, and he has not really mentioned the lower centers at all. He has not mentioned the solar plexus and the sacral and the base of the spine, which do have their higher correspondences in the head. And I think we, there may be seven, but wherever there are seven, let us look for 10. And that is what I think we're going to have to do here, the way DK is describing this setup. It will be evident, therefore, how complicated, from the standpoint of the horoscope, as well as of the individual problem, is this meeting of the energies of the two types of constellations in the case of man, who is neither purely human nor purely spiritual. And that's most of us as disciples. We are occupying a midway position between the spiritual and the purely human. So here we have talked about an inner group of seven, but now notice we were talking about the inner group of seven in relation to the 12 signs. Now what he's gone and done is he's used the word constellations instead of signs. So let's just show here. Note that the word constellations is used instead of science. So basically he's talking about mixing the energies of solar systems and signs. That's how he started, but he's now actually made a substitute of the word constellations for signs. And of course, from a higher perspective, there are ways, and we discussed them earlier, in which the great chakras of the one about whom naught may be said, some of whom, three of whom are what DK calls the three great constellations, have to be mixed with the zodiacal constellations. There are also ways, a little bit lower down on the spiral, where the energies of seven solar logoi have to be mixed with the energies of the signs. I hope that's clear. On the very highest level, we have the great chakras, Orion, Draco, Great Bear, Little Bear, and so forth. They have to be mixed with the 12 constellational energies. Those are in a very spiritual realm. the realm of the cardinal cross. A little lower on the spiral, we have the energies of seven solar systems, or seven solar logoi, being mixed with the energies of the signs. That's a lower type of expression. Okay, well, what's the point of it all? The point of it is that the ordinary horoscope is negated. Now, Alice Bailey, who herself admits she didn't know a great deal about astrology, and DK said so, but AAB was always saying this, that the ordinary horoscope is negated. She was interested in the astrology of the months, of the full moons, the astrology that conditioned humanity as a whole, not so much in the individual horoscope. The horoscope is not possible as yet of delineation, meaning the higher type of horoscope. And this, with all humility, we really do we really do have to admit. The only horoscope which is basically and almost infallibly correct, which is very interesting that DK says this, is that of the entirely low-grade human being who lives entirely, notice the word entirely, because so many of us human beings are not entirely low-grade human beings. Even the average human being who is still very emotionally polarized is not an entirely low-grade human being. But he's saying that the entirely low-grade human being who lives entirely below the diaphragm and is governed by his animal nature alone. So that is the horoscope which will work out as almost infallibly correct, because basically the occupant of the vehicles is not taking an independent controlling position and exerting upon the tendencies of the planets and signs in relation to houses, exerting any contrary directive energy that could offset the trends of the patterns of energies by which he is conditioned. He hasn't found that center of direction within himself. Saturn has not done its work in terms of making him the self-conscious, choosing human being. He just goes with what happens and as things are prompted by his animal nature. And as I have said, this type of human being, who is, I guess DK is saying, largely animal in nature, is under the sway of Mars more than the sway of Saturn. Saturn may condition external environment and bring difficulty, but he himself is not controlling Saturn. He is impulsive Mars. Okay, well, that was, you know, if you want to call it a digression, maybe it was. But essentially what it was a little visit to a treatise on white magic. And, you know, that's chapter 10 is, what is it, over 150 pages long, and much of it is on astrology. So in a way it's a little astrology book written before the major astrology book was written. So if you really want your major discussions of astrology about the Tibetan, you have to go to Cosmic Fire, where we get cosmological astrology. We have to go to White Magic, which prepares the way for esoteric astrology. And then, of course, he does scatter astrological references all throughout his work, including in the psychology books, and I think maybe in the healing books, certainly in Rays and the Initiations. So it's a good thing we have the CD-ROM. Well, anyway, we began by saying the zodiacal signs affect primarily the man who lives below the diaphragm. And now maybe we have a little better idea of what that may mean. And then he says these centers are, and he lists them, as at the base of the spine, the sacral center, solar plexus, and the spleen. Now, in a way, he's simply summarizing what he said in White Magic. The inner group of solar systems, of which there are seven, and I explained all that, at least my take on it, working in conjunction with the zodiacal signs. Okay, now, let's not forget that. It's not just one or the other. It's a mixture. Affect primarily those who live above the diaphragm. Now, I think what he's telling us is that there comes a time when the inner group of solar systems can also begin to affect those who live primarily below the diaphragm, but their real strong effect will be primarily on those who live above the diaphragm, and let us hope that we can number ourselves among such human beings. They therefore condition the heart center. He lists that first, interestingly enough. It is very, because it is in a way the lowest center of the higher centers, even though it is connected with the buddhic plane. So the heart center, the throat center, the ajna center, and the head center. There are eight altogether, seven of which are major. The spleen is not major. Three of the energies work through the head center, but only after the third initiation. So I think he's saying three of seven, work through the head center, and I would say through the head centers. And which they are, we're not being told here. Although in a way the major centers are considered to be heart, throat, and head, though the throat is a Brahmic center, and in a way is still mundane and not esoteric. In other words, from the number 3 down, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, this is still in the realm of exotericism and portrays the condition in the previous solar system when mind ruled exoterically. When we come to the two higher, which are heart and head, they are considered to be esoteric relatively. They take the 6th and the 7th position. Okay. Let's just take a little pause here for a minute. Okay. Now, at point 3 here, where it says 3 of the energies work through the head center, but only after the third initiation, in a way, we can consider these 3 as representing the energies of the Great Bear as a whole, of Sirius, and of the Pleiades. In some respects, it is justifiable to say that at a certain point in evolution, the Little Bear replaces Sirius. The Little Bear, of course, is a great constellation, and it has a supergiant star in it by the name of Polaris, which is our guiding star, our pole star. And Sirius, the Sirius grouping, Sirius A, Sirius B, possibly a hidden Sirius C, much closer. And basically, even the largest of them, Sirius A, is a dwarf star, relatively very close to us, but extremely potent for us. But in terms of absolute potency, the Little Bear as a constellation would be a much more potent source, as far as I can see and understand. We can always say, you know, this I say according to my present level of ignorance. I guess we have to be humble about this and to try to understand what it is we really know and what it is about which we speculate. So the three greater constellations, the super constellations as they are called, Great Bear, Sirius, and the Pleiades, can affect work through the head center, and we're told that Sirius, which in a way is the least of these energies, doesn't really begin to affect a man before the third initiation occurs. So I think he could mean these three energies at this particular point, but DK does at one point, if I can find it. Occasionally I go on a little bit of an excursion, but this is esoteric astrology, and he, let's see, Ursa Minor, and we can see whether that constellation, the fact, here we are on page 202, right? We have also brought into relation to our solar system another constellation called the Little Bear, which is a reflection of or a corollary to the major energies of its greater prototype, Ursa Major, the Great Bear. These facts contain a great mystery connected with the interrelation of Ursa Major, Ursa Minor, and the Pleiades. They constitute one of the greatest and most important of the triplicities to be found in the heavens, as far as we have astronomically ascertained the nature of our immediate universe. And here we do see that the term universe does not mean the vast entirety, but a local section of the heavens to which we are intimately related. It can mean as little as a solar system, but in this particular case, it means more than a solar system. So we can see from this triangle of Great Bear, Little Bear, and Pleiades that the Little Bear has cosmically a higher function than does Sirius, even though Sirius is monumentally important for us. Okay, there are one or two other points which might be noted here also, and I note them for your enlightenment. Let us all hope that we can approach the third initiation, which is the true enlightenment or illumination, and DK is certainly training disciples for the first and second initiation, and at one point he even included the third initiation, though at another point he said he wasn't. So I think there have been developments so that the training can go on for the third degree as well. out of all the many energies which impinge upon and pass through and produce effects upon our planet, esoteric astrology emphasizes the following four types of force because they affect what might be called the personality of the Earth. Okay, this is an additional section. Okay, the quality of our solar system. God is a consuming fire, but God is also love, so we can conclude that love is a consuming fire, or that the love of God is a consuming fire. This is the teaching of both esoteric and exoteric truth. So what is he doing here? He's talking about four types of force which are affecting the personality of the Earth. And remember that our particular planetary logos has an issue with the karma of personality. That is the issue that he is trying to work out, and because he does have a third ray personality, that third ray is the generic ruler of all personalities. For instance, all of us have different personality rays, but the third ray in general rules the realm of personality, and the second ray in general rules the realm of soul. So of these four types of force, we're dealing with the quality of our solar system. God is a consuming fire, but God is also love. We have to remember that our solar logos working through our solar system has a second ray personality and a second ray soul, second ray personality in this particular solar system. That the quality of the logos of our planet as it pours through the chains, the rounds, the races, the kingdoms of nature. We're dealing that which affects the personality of our planetary logos is the quality of the logos in general. Now, our planetary logos has a third-ray personality and a second-ray soul, which is gaining increasing emphasis at this time, and a first-ray monad, which is occultly non-effective because we have a non-sacred planet. And then, let's go on here. The quality of the Earth's complementary planet, which is the Earth's polar opposite, esoterically considered, and this planet is Venus. Well, very interesting here that DK uses the term complementary and polar opposite in the same sentence. Sometimes he has a way of describing in which complementary is different from polar opposite. A complementary planet being perhaps Mercury, or from other perspectives, Mars. Venus always being the polar opposite planet, but here he calls it as well a complementary planet. So these are all affecting the Earth's personality, the quality of our solar logos, the quality of our planetary logos, some of which is above the Earth's personality. How does he call it? How does he describe this here? The personality of our Earth, okay? And then the fourth one is what? The quality of the attraction of the three planets which produce an esoteric triangle of force. He's not telling us which they are, but some possibilities are, and let us put them down as possibilities. Some possibilities are, and I think we'll try to get that correct. Okay, they would be like Mercury, Venus, Mars. This is a possible group of three planets which produces an esoteric triangular force, but from another point of view, we can include the Earth. We can include Mercury, Venus, and Earth. And there are various ways of doing this. We can include Venus, Mars, and Earth. And let's see, I think there's one other one here. Mercury, Venus, and we can include Mercury, Venus, Earth, Venus, Mars, Earth, and we just can't leave Venus out of it. We cannot talk about Mars, about Mercury, Mars, Earth, although there is a kind of triangle there, because when you're dealing with globes in a chain, the globe previous to the Earth globe is sometimes called the Mars globe, then the Earth globe, then the Mercury globe. So, in terms of globes, three planets, Mars, Earth, Mercury, are sometimes included. Anyway, this particular grouping has its own magnetism and affects the personality of Earth. So that's what we've been talking about, four forces which affect the personality of Earth. Now, does that mean, is the personality of Earth the personality of the entire planetary logos with his Earth scheme, or are we talking about the personality of a globe lord that we are calling Earth? I think both can be possible. All right, we seem to have reached the point where we will call this session 11 to a close, but I might extend. The circumstances in which I'm doing this make it inconvenient for me to stop talking and do the conversion, because I have a little time in which I can continue to talk. So we'll do the great invocation. Maybe I'll start number 12 and you'll have sort of a double webinar here. So let's do the great invocation together. Okay, we'll do it like this. From the point of light within the mind. Okay, let's try that. Yes, there we are. So, the great invocation. Om. From the point of light within the mind of God, Let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, everyone. So what we will do then is we will stop this number 11 and move on to number 12. Take just a little break doing that. So if you cut it at this point, you can start it when you want to continue on to number 12.